I want to start with a verse here, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter 2:9. So while you're turning there, I do hope, I joked with, I've got a couple visitors with me, some of my family, so feel free to give them a hard time in the back row. But I did tell them I hope they brought their quick draw fingers. So I like to go through a lot of verses, so try to keep up. If you guys need me to repeat something or go back, please let me know. So 1 Peter 2:9, and we're going to read 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had and obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So if you would, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, just ask that you be with everybody bringing forth your word, but also be with me, Lord, as I preach what you want. I ask that I not get in the way, and just ask that we are a peculiar people, and that that come across as a good thing, Lord, and just be with us as we all preach and teach and hear as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, I want to start with a question here. So, is anyone here saved? I was hoping to get a couple hands or a couple amens. It seemed a little shaky. I don't know. Let me ask again. All right. Is anyone here saved? All right. Okay. All right. It makes me feel a little better. All right. So, may seem like an odd question, right? And be like, well, of course I'm saved. I'm here at church. But that's not the answer, right? Like, the answer is your belief in Jesus Christ. So, just real quick, I did joke about having my family back there. There was a time where one of my cousins who grew up with, talked Bible with, went to church, a couple different churches, services with. So I assumed he was saved, right? And you can't ever assume that. So, my cousin visited through a random set of circumstances, because, you know, the Lord had his hand in it. My cousin sat back there, Jeff, and somebody in the congregation just turned around and asked, like, hey, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And, of course, my thought was, well, I don't know why they're asking Jeff. Like, of course he does. And it turns out he didn't, and he got saved right there on that back pew. So, bad on me for assuming, but thankfully somebody asked the question, right? So, I asked that question because if you want to look here in 1 Peter 2:9 again, I want to focus on, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So, if you answered yes, or I got an amen, or a raise of a hand, you're a very peculiar person. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. So, just wanted to look at what the definition of peculiar is, right? So if you look it up in a dictionary, you're going to get something that says, if I can find it, definition of peculiar is unique, special, out of the ordinary, odd, or strange. So that's what your Bible says about you. But no, have a little fun with it, right? But what that means is something out of the ordinary or odd. Right, and so one of the first messages that I can remember hearing when I was here was actually pastor preaching on being a peculiar people. And I thought that was a strange opening to a message until he went through and I realized that I was a very peculiar person. And hopefully you guys will realize that today. So what I want to look at here is you've got how the world thinks about things and how Christians think about things, right? And unfortunately, you have a lot of churches are trying to combine those things together, right? And we're supposed to be set apart from the world. So we are supposed to be a peculiar people. So the world says a lot of things, whether it be in science or how to raise your kids or whatever it may be. And the Bible says otherwise. So which one should you believe, right? Well, if you said yes to being saved, of course you're going to believe the Bible, but we may have people here, maybe people that are listening, that will think, well, people of the world, scientists, so on and so forth, well, they know what they're talking about, right? Your Bible's an old book. It doesn't know what it's talking about. It's out of date. The English is old. I can't read it. I could go on, right? But that's kind of what I want to look at and prove today, that you can trust your Bible over any man. So if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. So just want to look here in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, the mind of Christ. When you think about that, it seems like a pretty simple verse. But I'm going to take you through some verses here that hopefully when we think back on that verse right here, the mind of Christ, will have a bigger impact. So, we shouldn't have the mind of the world, right, or an individual, or we shouldn't necessarily believe just what the world tells you, right? And that goes for your Bible too. That's why I want you guys to turn with me as I'm reading these verses, right? Don't just believe what the guy up here is saying. Check it out for yourselves. So, I could be up here just throwing some random stuff out there, right? I remember Micah, when he first started preaching, sometimes he would read the wrong word, and then he would stop and he would look, and he would see if anybody caught him, right? So, if I make a mistake, you guys should catch me. So, now, to get a little context, be thinking of the mind of Christ, I'm going to read a little bit more of a lengthy section here. So it is going to be 1 Corinthians, but I want to read the rest of the chapter leading up to it. So 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to read down to 16. So I'm not having you turn very far. So this is Paul speaking, right? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul's a very learned man, right? He has a very unique perspective because the world would have looked at him as being a scholar, would have known science, things of the world, and scripture. But now he's coming and saying that he knew nothing. So we'll continue here. In verse 3, he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit in which is of God, that we might know the things are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he hath judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind in Christ. So it's saying the same things in a lot of different ways, right? The spirit of man is going to understand the world and how it works from the point of a man. We're the same way. it was only by grace through faith when you're saved that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit that you now understand things through God's eyes and can understand how the world works through God's eyes. So, wrote a couple things down here. Your Bible tells you a lot of different things, but to have the mind of Christ, you have to be in the Word. So it was mentioned in Sunday school that you have to spend a lot of time in your Bible, and there was a really good testimony about how we need to spend more time in our Bible and how you glean information from this, right? And there's a lot of information on things that we do in our everyday life that we just miss because we don't spend time in our Bible. And that's how you have the mind of Christ. So just a couple things in case you didn't know that the Bible covers these topics, right? So these are things that the Bible that it covers. The forming of the universe. Hopefully y'all know that. It was Genesis 1, so that was an easy one. But the forming of the universe. How to handle diseases. Right? So you had all this fear when COVID came around, right? I gotta wear my mask. I gotta, you know, quarantine myself. I can't be around anybody. You can't be in a room with 10 people. We gotta stand 12 feet apart, no, 6 feet apart. You know, if somebody sneezes, you better run. Whatever it may be, right? So the Bible actually tells you how to handle diseases. It tells you how to raise your kids. So I will tell you that's a big one that the world opposes, right? The Bible has a vastly different way to raise your kids. And I think you can see in society, as we get away from the Bible, our kids get away from us. So it teaches you right and wrong and your moral compass. What is a moral compass nowadays, right? Who knows? It's whatever you feel is right. Well, no, there's an instruction book that tells you what's right. So, abortion, right? If you have no moral compass, then maybe that's okay to you, but it's not. Your Bible clearly defines that. It even tells you how to handle your finances. You can find that in there, right? There is where it talks about how to handle money, but even the craziness, right? Be like, if I give to the church, somehow I get back more. How does that work? I have no idea. But I know it works. Right? You give to God, God will always outgive you back. But that's a peculiar thing to believe. So, and then also this is a big one in the workforce right now. It's the Bible teaches you how to be a manager. How to handle your employees. And the big thing right now in management is servant leadership. Right? Well, where do you think they got that from? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just a few things that your Bible was already way ahead and can actually teach you how to live your life way ahead of its time. So, like I said, going back to this, Paul had a very unique perspective on things. He's coming and saying, basically, I know nothing. So he had the road to Damascus experience. People will use that, the road to Damascus experience, right? That's basically when your whole world's flipped upside down, what you thought you knew, you don't know. And that's what Paul went through. So it said that he was afraid, he was trembling, he didn't know what was going on. And this is one of the most powerful men at the time. So, if Paul gets saved and realizes he knows nothing of all people, then I can tell you right now, these scientists and these people who think they know everything don't know what's going on, right? But, once again, they're looking at through the eyes of the world. So, you have the mind of Christ, right? So if you would, turn with me to 1 Timothy. First Timothy 6. So, one thing I want to go through with you guys is I want to go over some things that your Bible can prove so that you know you can trust the book that I'm telling you to believe the financial advice and how to raise your kids and so on and so forth. So, like I said, I do ask that you turn with me here. There are things that I would like you guys to see in your Bible that maybe you didn't know were there. So, 1 Timothy 6, we're going to read verse 20. So, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called. So, I love that verse because it's science, falsely so called. So, I'm actually a lover of science. I was talking to an individual at work, and I was actually relaying this story this morning about how he was like King Agrippa, right? He almost persuaded. He was almost saved. But when I had a conversation with him, he didn't talk to anybody, didn't like anybody. Nobody got along with him. And he would talk all this science, so he felt like he was above everybody. But then when I would talk science with him, he's like, I thought you were a Christian. I am a Christian. I said, but you don't believe in the Big Bang, do you? I said, no, I don't believe in the Big Bang. He's like, I don't understand how someone smart cannot believe in the Big Bang. That's literally what he told me, and I was like, but we ended up having a good, decent relationship, and I was able to witness to him, and unfortunately, he was like King Agrippa, almost persuaded. But hopefully, someone will come and water that seed, and he'll get saved. But science, falsely so-called. There's a lot of things going on right now in science, and I did a message, well, a Sunday school, in which I talked about light, and we went a little more in depth than you would normally go in a normal service. So I'm keeping it kind of a little bit more on the surface level. It went very in depth, and I found things that your Bible can prove in science way before science did. But then I also talked about some of the crazy stuff that science believes that was proven false, right? And I always have a lot of fun with this because I find some normal stuff that's like, okay, I can see that, or maybe that we remember. And then I love to find the just out there stuff that you're like, what in the world? So that's where I have a lot of fun with this, and that's where you can have a lot of fun with your Bible too. So a couple things here on science, falsely so-called. So I've got four things written down. You'll probably remember two of these things, because I definitely did, and then I put two on here that are just some real out there theories. So the first one right here is that your blood is blue when it's inside your body. Does anybody remember that one? I definitely do. So the theory was, and it wasn't a theory, it was in your science textbooks, right? So your blood inside your body is blue because it doesn't have oxygen in the blood, right? So when you get cut, your blood turns red because it gets the oxygen in there and it has this chemical reaction and it turns red. So there's a portion of my life where I walked around and I was like, oh, my blood is blue. Well, no, that's false. So if you still believe your blood is blue, it is not. So the other thing on here is that you only use 10% of your brain. So that is also false. You use a whole lot more than 10% of your brain. At least I hope you do. And but there's plenty of science fiction movies and books out there that talk about the person who is able to use 100% of their brain and they got all kind of crazy powers and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's completely false. So, but that was a big one. And for a long time, I believed. I was like, man, I use 10% of my brain. There's a lot of wasted space up there. So, but that is false. So if you believe that, you no longer have to. It is false. So here's the good ones, though. So apparently, scientists believe that vegetation had a nervous system. Could feel pain, emotion, and all kinds of stuff, right? So to put this to the test, they started injecting plants and vegetation and fruit with different medications to see if the fruit would feel better. So they eventually found using apples that morphine does not make the apples feel better. Sounds crazy. Sounds like something that, man, that had to be way 200-300 years ago. 1912. So fairly recently. So, best. Got to save the best for last. And I'll be honest, I saw this, I went down a whole rabbit hole because I was like, I got to find out, how could you even theorize this? So, has to do with Darwin and his evolutionary tree. So, Darwinists believed that there was a branch of the evolutionary tree for fairies. And they had science behind it, and they knew that bees turned into fairies, and the different colors of fairies denoted different races of them, and all kinds of crazy stuff. There was a book published in which you can find this branch on the Darwinian tree. 1913. So still not that far away. I mean, it's over 100 years ago, but it seems like we should have known that was probably false. But there's a group of people that believe it. So if you happen to believe that somewhere in the evolutionary tree there were fairies, that is false.
them anyway.
But I mentioned those. Those are some crazy theories, right? But the thing is, some of them sounded real, right? Your blood is blue. That they had science behind it. It made sense, right? You only use 10% of your brain. It made sense because they had the science behind it. These are the people that we are trusting even now, because they don't have the mind of Christ. So they understand the world. They come up with a theory. And unfortunately, you can bend science to do what you want it to do until someone proves it wrong. So these are the people who are writing textbooks, teaching our kids, on the news saying, well, we know the Big Bang happened because blah, 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 blah. Your blood is blue, right? Like, whatever it is. These are the people that we're trusting, and we put them as the figureheads, and we say, well, this person knows what they're talking about because they have all these degrees, PhDs, and so on and so forth. But time will tell, right? So I have something much older that we'll look through than any of these theories that's proven correct. But if you would, turn with me to Proverbs 3. So we're going to read a little bit here. Proverbs 3, we're going to start in verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom in discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So a couple things here. The Lord is saying that he's going to be with you. He's going to keep you from all these things, right? Not to worry. And when you sleep, your sleep will be sweet, right? Because what's your trust in? Your trust is not in some crazy theory that we're all here by a random set of coincidences and two molecules hit each other and we evolved from fish or whatever the new theory is, right? Because if you believe that, anything can happen because everything is by chance. But if you have the mind of Christ, then you believe that God ordains everything and he has a plan for everything, right? So when you go to sleep, you rest easy. So I mentioned COVID earlier. When COVID happened, it was interesting because you had a lot of people panic and a lot of Christian people very panicked, right? And I think this church closed down maybe 2 weeks. And then we're like, that's not right. We need to be together. Christian people should be here. So there was not a lot of panic amongst God's people here. And that's how it should be, right? And a message I ended up preaching was on the spirit of fear, and it was kind of based on that, right? We don't have a spirit of fear. Because we know to trust in the Lord. And when I lay my head down, I know to put my trust in the Lord. But the thing here that I wanted to look at is when we talk about the Big Bang Theory, right? No one was there to see it. You have these two particles that hit each other, exploded, and then everything started forming. And when you think about that on a very simplistic level, that sounds nuts. So I know the Bible calls us odd, peculiar, strange, right? But that's because we don't believe the way the world believes. So to the world, yeah, we're a peculiar people. But to me, when I look at that, I'm like, how can you believe that, right? And when I read this in verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. So the mind of Christ, we have the mind or the ability that God has given us everything written down in this book, is the same person that founded the heavens and formed the earth. So it is a first-hand account of the creation of the universe. So am I going to believe a textbook from someone who potentially thought fairies were a real thing? Or am I going to believe a first-hand account of the person who was there as the Lord Jesus Christ? So, I don't see why I would believe the other. But at the same time, that's because I'm a saved individual. If you've been told that your whole life, that's what you're going to believe. So, how do you know that your Bible can be trusted if you're looking at it from a science perspective? So, hopefully you guys will follow along. I have a couple verses here. If you would, turn to Job 26. You can find a lot of these in Job. I mentioned before about having a lot of fun with this. There actually is a lot of stuff in here that I've mentioned before in that Sunday school, but I found some new stuff that I didn't even realize was in here, and it was just interesting making those connections. So hopefully you guys will have a little bit of fun with this too. So Job 26, we're going to read here in verse 7. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So the earth free floats. Now you are going back a ways, but astrologers at the time believed that the earth was held up by something, right? And a lot of pagan religions said it was an animal or whatever deity it was holding the earth up. But Job knew that the earth free floats, hangs on nothing, right? So how would Job have known that? Because he has a direct line to the person that made the universe, right? So same thing in Job, if you'll go to Job 38. This is actually one of my favorite ones, to be honest with you. So Job 38, 31. So, canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? And so, you may breeze over that one. I know I did until actually fairly recently. Within the last probably 5 or 6 years, we would take a lot of the youth kids up to Pensacola Christian Academy, and they have their own planetarium. And so to kill some time, we're like, yeah, let's go to the planetarium. And they mentioned this verse right here, and what a lot of scientists do is you can predict where the stars are going to go, where they're going to move, and what the galaxies are going to look like thousands of years in the future, right? But they focused on Orion's belt, and they found no matter how fast or how far you go forward in time, guess what doesn't move? The stars in Orion's belt don't move. Right? And they have no explanation for it. But yet back here in Job, we have the verse that says, who can loose Orion's belt? Right? How would he know that? Well, it's because your Bible's ahead of its time. So, same thing, same chapter. So, verse 35. So, this is kind of an interesting one. So, verse 35 here, canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Well, just recently they found that light can be transmitted into sounds and into speech. So, if you pair that with a verse, which I wish I would have wrote down, but it's the creation groans, and it's for God, right? And I'm paraphrasing there. But the creation speaks, and then you have this lightning that goes forth, and it says, canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. So just something a little interesting there. Now, if you would, turn back to Leviticus. Leviticus 15. We're going to read here in verse 13. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. So I mentioned that. So Mike is the one that showed me this one, and up until, I believe it was the late 1800s, early 1900s, somewhere around there, doctors would have a bowl of water, and as they performed surgeries, they would dip their hands in the water, move to the next patient, dip their hands in the water again, right? But all those germs are sitting there in the same water. So this tells you to be clean, you have to use running water, right? So that's fairly new to medical science, that you need to use running water. And what ended up proving it is they had women, when they were giving birth, there was like a 30 to 40% chance of death. And just by using running water to stop infectious diseases, it went down to a 3% chance. So a lot of people could have been saved if we would have listened to the science in our Bible. So same thing if you'll go to Leviticus, go back to Leviticus 13, 46. So Leviticus 13, 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him shall be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his inhabitants be. So what this is saying is, in leprosy and certain diseases that were very infectious, if you couldn't be cleansed of it, you had to be quarantined. So your Bible knew about quarantine before COVID. But that being said, you quarantine the sick, not everybody. So your Bible had it right if we would have just listened. So same thing in Leviticus, if you'll go to chapter 17. 17:11. So it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So two things on that. One, we now know that your life is in the blood, and they used to do all kinds of crazy things to try to heal diseases. If they thought you had bad blood, they would do bloodletting, and they would try to get rid of the bad blood in your system, which caused a lot of people to die, because with no blood, you die. So your Bible knew about that ahead of time. But also, I just want to take a side note and just say that it's blood that maketh an atonement for the soul, right? So just keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Some of your Bibles like to take out the fact that he bled and died on the cross. They like to skip over the blood part because it's gruesome, but that's what made the atonement for sin. So got two more here, if you will. Go to Psalms 8. Psalms 8:8 says, "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." So this is a little bit of an old one, but what we now know as oceanography was actually started because someone was trying to prove the Bible was correct, and the sea had a path that it would follow. So this is a case where science actually believed the Bible and went out and proved it. So, but your Bible knew that there was a path to the sea, that everything had a natural way that it flowed, well before, obviously, we did. And then, if you will, last one here we'll look at is Isaiah 40. So it said, "It is he that sitteth upon the circles of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So really I'm focused on that first one, "that sitteth upon the circles of the earth." It's a long time that people thought your earth was flat, and the earth is round. So I'm sorry if there's anybody that is a flat earth theory person. Your earth is round, and your Bible does say so. So, but once again, your Bible was ahead of science. It knew that the earth was round. And then kind of what I want to look at here is, we looked at the earth free floats. Orion's belt, the stars don't move over thousands and thousands of years. Light can be translated into speech. Washing your hands with running water is how you get rid of diseases. You're supposed to quarantine the sick. Your life is in the blood. The seas have a path that they go. And the earth is round. Right? Those are very few examples, and there's a lot more we could look at. But how would anyone in Bible times know these things? You could make a case for maybe the washing with running water, or quarantining the sick, or maybe even the blood, right? But how would they know the earth free floats, that Orion's belt doesn't move, and that the earth is round? There'd be no way, right? Unless it was just a theory like these other theories we looked at from scientists. Except the difference is, as time has gone on, we see that your Bible is correct and these other scientists were wrong. So, when it comes to knowing if you can trust your Bible, I'm just trying to provide a little insight to look and say you can find science in your Bible. And it's a much more trustworthy book than the world would like you to believe. So, that's believing on science. Hopefully, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the one thing the world definitely doesn't want you to believe in His power. So, like I said, these are just a few examples, and the reason why these people knew about these things is because they had the mind of Christ, they were walking with the Lord, and they were talking with the person who has a first-hand account of creating everything. So, if you will, turn with me to Psalms 14. So just the first verse here, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." Right? So, all these smart people, all these scientists, the Bible just outright calls them fools. You know, just like when I called y'all all odd and strange and unique and peculiar, right? Like, I wasn't saying it, the Bible was saying it, right? But we see that's a good thing. I'd rather be called peculiar than a fool. Which is me. So, I'll be peculiar, that's fine. But interestingly enough, here it says, at the end of this verse, it says, "There is none that doeth good." That's every one of us included. So, sometimes you'll hear these Christians, "Oh, I'm a good Christian, I don't do this," or "I'm a good Christian, I don't do this." I'll be honest, I don't know if there is a good Christian, right? We're all sinners. So if you weren't a sinner, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come and save you from yourself. So you were just like all these people prior to the Lord Jesus Christ. You weren't peculiar, you were a fool. And I was a fool. So, I would like to look at a couple things here. Just describing Jesus, right? And we see through science, Jesus was what the world would know as a philosopher, right? Your Bible knows things in advance and makes predictions and reads the stars, whatever you want to say, right? And that's a bunch of hooey, whatever you want to call it, right? But Jesus was a philosopher. If you will, if you'll look in Luke 5. I'm going to read here in verse 30. So in verse 30 right here, we're going to read through verse 32. "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" So, there's a lot of people out there that think they're the publicans, right? They think that they're better than religion, whatever it may be, but Jesus comes to heal the sick and the people who need Him, right? And He calls sinners to repentance. If you don't think that you've sinned and you think, "Oh yeah, I'm the greatest person since Mother Teresa," or whatever it may be, right? You're still a sinner. and you have to acknowledge that. So Jesus was a philosopher. It says here that he's a physician. And then, if you will, 1 Peter 2. We're going to read here in verse 24. So 1 Peter 2, 24. So speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." So your belief in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, his resurrection, the power of his blood, the Trinity, right, that he is God and that he's also man, which science nor me can explain, but I know your Bible says it and I believe it, right? By his stripes, you're healed, right? It's through him that you have salvation. So, that's Jesus, the philosopher, the physician, and then if you will, go to Acts 4. Acts 4:12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." And it says must be saved. Not, there's not a name that you could be saved, right? It says must be, because Jesus is the only way. So salvation is through him and him alone. So our last verse I want to look at today is Romans 3. Romans 3:22. So Romans 3:22, and we're going to read all the way through verse 25. So, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, by whom hath set forth to be our propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past, through the forbearance of God." So, Jesus was our propitiation. So, there's my three P's for Micah if he's listening, right? Philosopher, physician, and propitiation. So, Jesus took the place of sin for us, right? If you're a sinner, which we read in here, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," then you're a sinner, right? And the wages of sin is death. And that's what we all deserve. But Jesus takes that place, right? Through his stripes, we're healed. And through Jesus, we have the righteousness of God and we're saved. So, I just kind of wanted to ask this question, and this kind of goes to any of you and to anybody listening, is, are you a peculiar people? Or are you a fool? So, that's all I had for you guys. We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to have a song. And I just ask that if there's anyone here that's not saved, doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you not continue to believe in the wisdom of the world when there's a book right here that can help you through any problem you have. The Lord says to lay everything on him and he'll bear it for you. So if you want to continue with that, he's also our psychiatrist, right? So, but the Lord wants you to be saved. Heaven rejoices for sinners who get saved. So if you're not saved, you're here this morning, I ask that you come forward. We'll sit with you, take whatever time you need. If you want to step to the side, there's plenty of people here that can walk you through that. If you're listening, I ask that you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray for salvation as well. And then obviously feel free to reach out via the website or whatever it may be. And if anyone is visiting and would like to join with our church, ask that you make that intent known.